Welcome to today's episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell, experienced gestational surrogate, surrogacy agency founder, and owner of Surrogacy Mentor, where our aim is to help surrogates match with reputable surrogacy agencies for a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Today, I'm happy to welcome my very special guest, attorney Erin O'Kane Allen. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, so happy to chat with you today. And today we're going to talk about something that's not very well known, but is part of a potential surrogacy journey for a lot of women and parents, which is embryo donation. So we're going to dig into what exactly that is and how it plays into surrogacy journeys. So before we do that, I do want to give a little bit of background information on Erin. So Erin attended the University of Southern California with a BA in communication and then Whittier Law School, where she got her JD. While at the University of Southern California, Erin was granted lifetime membership in the National Society of Collegiate Scholars. Erin began working as an associate attorney in this field in 2010 and opened her own law firm practicing third-party reproduction and family formation law in 2011. Erin practices exclusively in the areas of third-party reproduction and family formation. She has experience in drafting, negotiating, and finalizing surrogacy agreements, egg donation agreements, sperm donation agreements, and embryo donation agreements, as well as drafting and filing documents necessary for the establishment of parental rights. So you have been doing this work now for, 12 years or so, 12, 13 years?
Yep.
And you work with both surrogates and parents, I assume.
I do, just not at the same time.
Right. And so, yeah, great. So it's always good to get an attorney's perspective on some of these different scenarios that go on during a surrogacy journey and what people may encounter when they're thinking about who they'd like to match with, as far as if you're a surrogate thinking about who your ideal intended parents are or vice versa. It's always good to talk about some of the different scenarios that might come into play. And one of those that we're focusing on today is embryo donation. So let's just start by giving a definition of what is embryo donation.
So embryo donation is very similar to egg donation or sperm donation, whereas with, you know, egg donation or sperm donation, only the egg or sperm is being donated. In embryo donation, there is already a created embryo that is being donated to someone else. So same kind of process, same kind of procedures, just the embryo is already created in this case.
Okay, that's great. So let's talk about, so just to do some super basic, surrogacy and fertility 101. So the embryo is created when the intended parent or parents use either their own genetic material or that of a donor or a mixture, and they create an embryo, and then they freeze those embryos, right? Or store those embryos in most cases.
Yeah.
At the fertility clinic. So what would be a scenario where intended parents would say, hey, we went through all this cost and expense and pain and effort to create embryos for ourselves, for our own use, but now we've made the decision that we want to donate them to other people. What would be a scenario that someone would be in that would cause them to make that decision?
Yeah. So, primarily, I see kind of a couple of top reasons for that. One is that in the process of going through IVF, the couple or the single person created a lot of embryos. If they have gone through, created their family, they have their children, they're like calling it like, hey, we're done, we're great. But we still have 10 leftover embryos. And they don't want to just kind of keep them on ice. they decide to donate them. And then kind of the other reason that I see a lot is that, you know, people who have gone through this process in IVF and have spent the time and the money and the, you know, heartache or, you know, everything to get to the point where they have their family, really want to help others get there as well. So, you know, even if they only have two leftover embryos, a lot of times I'll see, you know, people want to donate those two leftover embryos to give another family the opportunity to, you know, have a family.
Right. So the options that's, let's say I created embryos for myself and I've got five leftover. I've had my child or children. I am done building my family, but I have these embryos that are genetically, most likely genetically related to me. Not always, because a donor could have been used, but in any case, they're my embryos, right? That I use to build my family. So I now have these embryos. What are my choices? So I have embryo donation, which we're going to dig into more and talk about how that plays out. What are the other options that someone has if they have leftover embryos?
I mean, they can keep them on ice and, you know, just keep them frozen. In that case, you're looking at kind of like long-term storage costs, which some people may not want to hold on to forever. Another option would be to donate them to like medical research or that sort of stuff. I have heard that that is getting harder to do. I'm not sure if that is accurate, but the choices are limited there from what I understand. And then, you know, there is also the option of discarding them, thawing them, you know, getting rid of them. And then there is embryo donation. People also sometimes do, you know, if they have embryos that maybe are not the best quality or something like that, they'll do kind of like a compassionate transfer. So like, they're probably not going to take, but they don't want to discard them. So they'll do something like that. I think those are all the options.
Okay. Got it. So back to embryo donation specifically. So I've decided that my five embryos, I don't want to have any more children for my family. I'm not wanting to discard them. I'm not wanting to donate them to medical science. I've decided, okay, I want to offer them up for embryo donation. So these are hopefully going to become children that are, in most cases, going to be genetically related to me. And I say that again, because not everyone creates embryos out of their own genetic material. Sometimes you use a donor or two different, or an egg donor and a sperm donor. And so they're not always going to be genetically related to you, but they're your embryos that you created. So I have these embryos and I want to donate them. What's that process look like from a legal perspective? Because these are essentially children, right? And I know there's a little bit of a controversy or sort of a semantics thing where people don't like to call it embryo adoption. But a lot of people do think of it that way in their mind, that these are their children. They intended to have children with these embryos, and now they're adopting them out to other people. So can we talk a little bit about the nuance between donation and adoption, and how does that play out legally?
Yeah, so you are right. we don't like to refer to it as embryo adoption. I do know many people consider them their children and that, you know, they prefer to look at it as an adoption, but it's not a child. It's just an embryo at this point in time. So we consider embryo donation to be the correct terminology. also with adoption comes other, you know, legal requirements that, you know, apply when you're adopting a child, a home study and all that sort of stuff. So that is not really the case here. You're not adopting a child. You're donating an embryo to someone else or receiving a donated embryo. Legally, California actually just passed, a new part of our law came into effect in January 1st of this year. So previously in California, we had a law, it's California Family Code 7613. It basically says, if you act as an egg donor or a sperm donor, you are not considered the parent of the child created. Obviously there's some more details in there, but basically, so up until now we've, as attorneys, we've relied on that, you know, as like the person donating the egg is the egg and sperm donor to say the embryo is donated. And then those people aren't the parents. But as of January 1st, we have a new portion of that law that actually specifically relates to embryo donation. So it states that if you are providing an embryo for use in assisted reproduction, the person who is donating the embryo or persons who are donating the embryo are not considered the parent of the child created. A kind of further point to that law is that you do need to have the written permission of the original source of the gametes, so the egg donor or the sperm donor, either written consent at the time of the embryo donation, or if that person had previously signed an agreement, like an egg donor agreement, sperm donor agreement, that would count, giving up their rights. So it is kind of twofold for the embryos, but then that, you know, now that is specifically in our law that, you know, if you donate an embryo, you are not considered the parent of the child created. Obviously, as an attorney, I recommend an agreement, you know, especially in these situations, I see a lot more of people wanting to have contact in the future, some sort of contact. Now, that can obviously run from, I'll tell you if there's a child grade, going to exchange emails and talk to each other every week. But that is an important aspect of an agreement.
That is. And that's definitely something we should talk about because as listeners know, I am the mother of a daughter created with the help of a sperm donor, anonymous sperm donor. And I made sure that the sperm donor was willing to be known when my daughter was of age. We ended up finding him and his family through DNA registry much earlier. She's 11 and we found them a few years back. So I think the direction that society is going, people are going to find out who their biological, I don't want to say parents, but who their biological family or biological relatives are. They're going to find that out anyway, no matter what, right? It's just the way of the world. Yeah. So, yeah. And there's a lot of, there's a big movement now, right, around a donor. I'm sorry, not a donor, but a donor conceived child's right to know their history and their origins. So how do embryo donation agreements address that, as well as legally, how does it address sort of the transfer of the embryo from one person or people to new people?
Right. So typically how, I mean, there's kind of different ways you can put it, but you'll put a time when the embryo transfers ownership. So for example, it can be once the agreement signed, one, you know, at some, usually there's some sort of testing required by the clinic in an embryo donation. So a lot of times people will put, you know, like within 60 days, as soon as the testing's completed type of thing. I like signing of the agreement. It's a date, you know, you have it, it's good. it can differ. But we always put, you know, a specific time when the ownership of the embryo is transferred. Embryos, typically, usually it's not just one. and then it's very clear that from that point forward, you know, the intended parent is in charge of the decisions regarding the embryo. That includes transferring it to themselves, transferring it to a surrogate, making decisions regarding future disposition. So, you know, once they are done building their family, if their embryo is left over, what they can do, what they can't do. A lot of times that is a little bit of negotiation between the parties if the donors have strong feelings about something. And then, of course, we get into, you know, future contact and that sort of stuff. Like I said, that can run a huge scale of what people are comfortable with. I am seeing a lot more wanting to have contact in the future, or wanting to have the option to have contact in the future between the donors and the intended parents, but also the genetic siblings.
Right. I was just going to say the siblings for sure. That was for sure our main concern as parents. was making sure that if she had siblings out there, because she's an only child to us, that she could have contact with her siblings. So I think that's really important in embryo donation as well. So let's talk about the other side of the coin, which is parents or a parent who is in a position where they are going to receive embryo donation from someone else. What sort of scenarios come up in that situation? Like, why would you be at a point, or why would embryo donation be a decision you'd make over creating your own embryos?
I mean, medically, you might not be able to create your own embryos. And if you're going to need an egg donor and a sperm donor anyway, it might be more cost effective to have an already created embryo. Or some people just, are more comfortable with the idea of using embryos that are already created, you know, giving the possibility of a child to being created from those embryos instead of creating new embryos. Mm-hmm. It's really a personal choice. I see a lot of people who kind of both sides, either way, either medically are going to need a donor for egg and sperm anyway, or, you know, maybe won't, but like the idea of using embryos that are already created.
And I think there's another scenario too, which is that someone maybe has gone through rigorous effort to create their own embryos and has been unsuccessful, or those embryos have not produced a pregnancy. Now they're at a point where they just can't go through IVF anymore. It's just too hard on their body, or, you know, like you said, finances come into play, where embryo donation is less expensive in general, I believe. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the intended parents that I worked with in the past, when I had my agency, they told me that the embryo donation route was less expensive for them than doing several rounds of IVF.
I don't know for sure, but I believe you are right.
Yeah. And then the other factor, which you kind of touched on, which is that I would say in the overwhelming majority of cases, people who are donating embryos already have successful pregnancies and deliveries from that group of embryos. And so someone receiving those donated embryos can at least have some assurance that the quality of the embryos were good enough to produce other pregnancies and deliveries, and therefore there should be a pretty good chance that they'll do the same for them. So I would think that that's another factor too. Like you said, if someone's looking at creating embryos with a donor, a sperm donor and egg donor anyway, those may or may not turn out to be good quality embryos, but then you've got these donated embryos that have already produced children and pregnancies. So then that might be a better bet.
Right? Yeah. And I mean, a lot of times, you know, you have the report from the clinic on, you know, what the quality of the embryos are, if pregnancies have been created from those, you know, children have been born from those embryos. I would imagine a lot of the time, you know, parents sometimes do genetic testing, and that you would already have that information. So there is a lot more information you can get from already created embryos. Like you were mentioning, the comfort of knowing that, you know, a child has been born from these embryos already.
Yeah. So let me ask you about the surrogate's perspective. If she is looking at profiles of intended parents, trying to choose, you know, someone that she feels connected to and, you know, it sort of fits that ideal in her head of the parents that she'd most like to work with, and she sees that they have received donated embryos, is there anything different or more difficult or more complicated about a surrogate choosing intended parents who've received donated embryos versus those who've created their own embryos?
So it is very state specific for surrogacy. The surrogate would definitely want to, consult with an attorney in her state to see. Some states do have, you know, one of the intended parents needs to be genetically related to the child. type of laws. In California, it does not make a difference. So for a gestational surrogate who, you know, is not going to be related to the child in any case, whether the intended parents are using their own egg and sperm or egg donor, sperm donor, or donated embryos, isn't really much of a difference. Like I mentioned briefly, legally in California, we do not require a genetic tie to be named the parent of the child. Most of California, well, a lot of California's parentage laws are based on, you know, the intent to parent right. and that sort of stuff. So genetics isn't the end all be all for us. There are states that require, you know, a genetic tie. So that would be something to look into. But there's not really much difference.
So you bring up a good point, and this is where, you know, I talk about having a great agency and an agency that knows their stuff, knows the lay of the land in all the different states where surrogacy is practiced. So where a good agency will be able to filter out the profiles, if the surrogate lives in a state where, excuse me, one or both parents have to be genetically related to the embryo, then that profile should never even be shown to the surrogate, shouldn't even Agreed. Be an option. So that's where a good agency, one of the many ways that they help make sure that things go smoothly is by not even showing the surrogate that profile, because they would not be legally able to work together, right?
Agreed.
But for those, right. So those surrogates who are considering an independent journey, it's just one of the millions of moving parts that you've got to consider is, what state do you live in? What are the laws there about what kind of intended parents and embryos and situations legally can you actually work with? Because you might think they're the best parents that you want to work with, but now all they have are donated embryos, and now you can't work with them because you live in a state that says legally that can't happen.
Right. So, and that's, you know, that's where, along with a good agency, definitely great advice to work with a great agency. But if you are doing an independent journey, you know, that is, you know, I don't expect people to know their state surrogacy laws front and back. you know, I know California's pretty well, but I can't really speak to many others. But that is a situation where you would definitely want to get in touch with an attorney. And, you know, a lot of times attorneys will offer free consultations, and you could say, listen, I'm thinking of being a surrogate. This is the situation. These parents are using donated embryos. There will be no genetic connection. Will we still be able to get parentage?
Right. Absolutely. And we've talked about this on the podcast before, but working not only with a knowledgeable surrogacy attorney in your state, but with a knowledgeable surrogacy attorney who actually has experience in surrogacy and family formation, not like your cousin's brother's best friend who does disability law and just happens to think it would be kind of cool to do a surrogacy case, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 100% true. Yeah. You need to work with someone who is experienced in this area, who, you know, has worked in this area before, for that reason, because a lot of surrogacy laws are very nuanced and, you know, you need to know the little things. And someone who's not as experienced might gloss over the fact that there has to be a genetic connection to the child. But also, you know, people who are experienced in this agency, you know, if I want an answer to a question, I have colleagues that I can reach out to, you know, or I belong to attorney groups that I can reach out to be like, hey, guys, I haven't experienced this before. What are your thoughts on this? Are there any prohibitions in this state or this state? You know, like we can get the answer.
Yeah, that's huge. And that's the same for most attorneys that are, you know, practicing in this area. It's a tight-knit community. And the same goes for agencies. You know, most of us are, even though we're competitors, just like your competitors with your other California attorneys, we all are also very collaborative, which you have to do when you're a small industry. And I say small, meaning like number of people working in this industry. Yeah, you have to help each other out for sure. And so I would say that as far as a surrogate or prospective surrogates who might be listening, as long as your state laws or statutes or processes for surrogacy allow, working with intended parents who have received donated embryos is no different than working with any other intended parents. That the rate of success for the transfer should be the same, possibly better, who knows, but that the clinic can help you understand that there should be no minimal difference, if any, in the likelihood of success of a pregnancy from those embryos. You'll have the same amount of legal representation and legal protection that you would have in any other scenario. Again, granted that your state allows for donated embryos. So it shouldn't be a deterrent, I believe, and you can tell me what you think, for a surrogate looking at profiles if they see that the embryos are donated. It shouldn't really be a consideration unless there's a state law prohibiting it.
Right. I would totally agree. I think it, you know, the process will be the same or very similar to if the intended parents were using embryos created with their own egg and sperm. It shouldn't really be, you know, by no means a red flag or anything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think above and beyond that, and maybe it's a biased opinion, but I think it's just another level of, in my opinion, beauty to this process where people are helping other people create families, right? My sperm donor helped me have my daughter, which then inspired me to become a surrogate, which then inspired me to start an agency. And then you have scenarios where, you know, intended parents are coming into this, you know, scared. They're not sure how they're going to build their family. What's this process going to look like? And then they meet this amazing surrogate who's just wonderful and helps them realize their dream of becoming parents. And then also there's this layer now of a donated embryo coming to them from parents who are so graciously giving to them this gift of an embryo that they then use in this whole process. To me, it's just another layer of collaborative family building. That's just a beautiful part of this bigger picture of surrogacy.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think like it's so, you know, a lot of the kind of stigma to this, you know, is like, oh, people are just doing it for the money. People are being egg donors for the money, sperm donors for the money, surrogates for the money. And when you hear, you know, stories of, you know, these intended parents that have their three leftover embryos that just like had a really hard road getting there, but now have their family and want to give that opportunity to another couple, single person, you know, whatever it is, to either grow or create their family. It's just such, you know, a heartwarming situation that, you know, people are willing to do, to give of themselves, you know, in the sense of the embryo, to give another family the chance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree. And helping another family maybe not have to go through such a hard road to get there, it's a beautiful gift, because family formation and all of its different roads and ways is difficult, right? I mean, very few of us have it super easy, particularly in this industry. Most of us have a story of some sort of creating our family in an alternative way that took longer or cost more, or just in general was harder. So I think embryo donation is a beautiful gift in that way. So
yeah, well, I agree. It's becoming a lot more popular from what I've seen. Like a lot more people are, you know, kind of taking advantage of that situation if it's presented to them.
I love that. Well, this has been really enlightening for me, and hopefully for people listening, that there's just yet another way to create families and for people to help other people in this process, which is great. So I just really appreciate you taking the time and sharing your knowledge with us.
You're welcome. And thank you so much for having me. It's been great talking with you about embryo donation.
Yeah, thank you. So that brings us to the end of this episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast. Again, I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell, and I want to thank Erin O'Kane Allen for joining me for this chat today. Be sure to check us out online at surrogacymentor.com if you're interested in knowing whether surrogacy might be right for you. Take our easy 2-minute quiz on our website. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to learn more about gestational surrogacy and how to have a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Talk to you next time.